today on Codebin Radio.
Hello, everybody. Codebin Radio number 324. We're going to call it something like, how can we help you better? Because I like that that's a call to action, which we rarely do on this podcast, but it is kind of going to be one. And in fact, if you just change podcasts right now, that's our question to you. How can we help you better? Feel free to write to us at support@codepen.io or hit that support link or whatever. Tell us anything you want to know of, like if you had a question about Codepen or a way that you think we could help you as a Codepen user better. But in this podcast, we're going to elaborate that and talk about why we're thinking about that. I have Marie on with me. Hey, Marie.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah, Marie, as you know, one of her many duties is kind of heading up support at Codepen. And that we've talked on this podcast in the not so distant past about basically how well support is going. And in that, if the only metric for support is volume, our volume of support is quite low. Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's decreased a whole lot. And you know, in the previous episode, we talked about our theories on why it's right. Decreased. So I'm not going to get too far into that now, but you know, one of the things that we've been thinking about, because we've reduced the volume of support so much, is that like we could do more. We could take on more, and we want to make sure that we're being, you know, that we're giving people what they need to really succeed with using CodePen. And so that's where that's what we're wondering about right now. That's what we're trying to uncover.
Yes. And there's lots of nuance to that. So the goal being, if we're going to state one or work around one, is that if any user has any question at all about how CodePen works, that they can find that answer.
Right.
And anyway, you know, if you need to write to us to ask that question, because that's how you operate, please do. You know, we're not going to not make that hard for you in any way. But better probably is for you to find the answer yourself. I think you see that manifest at lots of companies where you try to find the support form, some kind of way to send a message, because probably you've already looked to try to solve the question yourself. Because of course, if you can just solve it yourself, that's faster. It's just more satisfying to just solve it yourself. So I think a lot of companies are like, just look for the answer yourself first. And then if you absolutely can't find it, then email us. But you feel the internal vibe feels like they're pushing you away from human-powered customer support. And I think that's, in some way, that's how we're going to attempt to not roll at first here, because we don't need to, you know, like our human powered support is fine. And I don't like that. It feels off-putting to have a company that I'm paying, even though a lot of our support is unpaid. But when I'm paying them, I don't want to be pushed away from human powered support.
Yeah, it's weird, because it's like you kind of want to strike a balance between being able to find something on your own and getting help when you need it. And yeah, I do know what you mean, where it's like, you land on a support page and it's almost like you have to play a game to get to the point where you can talk to somebody.
Maybe you even have to perform a search. It won't even show you the link unless you do the search. Or I think more commonly, it's just way, 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 way at the bottom. You know, scroll. So and then you might be able to find it. Because what they're trying to say is search the docs or use the forums or blah, 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 blah. You know, here, check out the FAQs. And I kind of get that, because if you do a lot of customer support, as we both have, a lot of questions can be the same. And that's why when you call, you know, like the joke about, you know, did you unplug it and plug it back in? All those kind of simple things. Because it turns out in doing support, that often works.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, those initial steps, those initial troubleshooting steps, which I know are annoying for people when they are asked to do them, solve the problem most of the time. You know, are you using browser extensions? Is there any difference when you're not? That solves so
many
problems.
That's our unplug it and plug it back in. That's
exactly.
Probably our top answer for it. And a browser plugin is sometimes like Ghostery or uBlock Origin, and then just as likely it's a work firewall thing where they don't even see it necessarily, or some other kind of like system level security software. And we just don't know. It's so different each time that it's kind of like, I don't even know how to help you. Although we are looking at ways to like attempt to figure out if that's what it is programmatically and tell right. you. I don't know how successful we'll be just yet, but I think there's a way to, like, you know, hit a domain name, and if it looks blocked to us, then show a modal or something that's like, this looks like it could be being blocked. Is that right. possible? Before just saying, error, sad face, right to, you know.
Yeah, well, that is something that we're working on. A lot of our error messages don't give enough information in context for people to solve things on their own. And that's something that we are looking at working on, like just making the error messages themselves more useful instead of, like you said, just like, error, uh-oh. You know?
Yeah.
Because one of the things that is important here when we're talking about, you know, helping people find information and get help from, you know, for themselves is that we're not on 24/7. We're based in the U.S. and we keep, you know, mostly West Coast hours, which means that we are async from a lot of our members. You know, many of our members are in Europe, and their day starts many hours before any of our days start. You know, I'm on the East Coast in the U.S., but I actually kind of run a little bit more West Coast to be more in sync with the team. So, you know, because you don't want to put people in a situation where they're having to wait hours and hours and hours to get an answer, you want to put stuff right in their hands right away. So that's, you know, things like improving error messages and also just like making the documentation more searchable and more friendly to find your answers is a goal of ours, because it's like, we don't have 24/7 support. This isn't a massive mm-hmm. company with a huge support team, or even like with the automated stuff where it's just like, we got your ticket, look at these possible things, you know, like that's not a particularly satisfying answer either. So we do want to be like right up front with the problem. Like the ideal case is like, there's a problem and the solution is suggested to you immediately, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Because think how satisfying that is. You know, the risk is the worst. The worst possible thing could happen. The user's just like, you know what? Screw it. Screw this. Screw it. Goodbye.
Yeah.
That's a problem. That's mm-hmm. lost revenue. It's lost engagement. It just sucks, you know? And people get to that point before they even write the first email. Because not everybody's like, well, I can't figure it out. I guess I'll type paragraphs to another right. human being with no real promise that it's going to come back. Like we promise, but you don't know that, you know, like,
sure, yeah,
you know, so some, we get tickets, but in our opinion, almost not enough in a way, especially if you're pro. And this is, you know, something that we can get into a little bit, is that if you've given us money, we do internally try to, you know, like we even have a special tag when the ticket comes in. It's not like at the airport where they only do the premium line before they do the free line or anything. It's not like that line in the sandy. But of course, like, I just want to give you, if I possibly can, even more white glove service. And I, you know, sometimes that's a little wishy-washy, I guess. But still, you've paid us money. We get so much support from free users that it's like, I would definitely want to help somebody that's giving me money more so, because it's just human nature. You're just more valuable to this company.
Right.
And we don't hear from them. Ever. Yeah. It's so weird.
Well, and we have talked about that and kind of thought that out. A lot of the, you know, a lot of the disparity is just volume. You know, there are yeah. way fewer pros than there are free members. But the types of things that pro members write us about and the types of things that free members write us about are very different. You know, when we get support tickets from free members, a lot of the time it's about stuff we can't actually help with. And that's,
yeah,
stuff
it's like, how
you know,
do I make these tabs work on my WordPress website or whatever?
Right, right, exactly. And you know, we also get support tickets from people who are not even registered members. We will get people who will write in about a pen. They'll be like, you know, I'm trying to use this on my website and it's not working. What do I do? You know, because there's a bit of a misunderstanding of what our support really is. You know, we don't support the code samples that are on CodePen. Those are the work of the people who made them, you know? So those are the types of tickets that we get from free members, you know, more so than from pro members. Occasionally we'll get pros who expect that there's some assistance with code, and we just talk that out with them. But pro members usually have different types of questions. It's more likely to be a feature request, and then, you know, stuff about subscription and things like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in part, we don't hear as much from pro members because they know what they're doing. They know how to use the product. They know how to write their code. So they don't need as much help. But it is something that we would like to...
They still leave, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, we kind of want to know more about that. And we also kind of want to know more about why people who stick around are sticking around. Like, what are we doing right? You know, but... And so, you know, it is a little bit of a mystery. And we are kind of working on more ways to reach out directly to our pro members and have more conversation with our pro members because, you know, yeah, like you said, they're the ones who keep the lights on here. So they are our priority.
This episode of Code Pen Radio is brought to you in part by Automattic, you know, makers of WooCommerce and Jetpack and WordPress.com and a bunch of other kind of smaller companies that do niche, really cool things. Automattic's always buying cool companies, I think. One of those somewhat recently is called MailPoet. I had a chance to check it out for the first time not long ago. And so it's a plugin for your self-hosted WordPress site, or it works on WordPress.com too. So not necessarily self-hosted, because, you know, if you have the business plan or the e-commerce plan on WordPress.com, you can just install plugins just like it's any other WordPress site. You even have FTP access and database access. Pretty impressive, really. But the deal with MailPoet is that it's like a newsletter builder right in WordPress. So you might, you know, you can imagine other newsletter builder products that are separate, that are like, yeah, sure, you can use us to send newsletters, but that's basically all we do. We're not necessarily integrated with your website or your CMS in some other way. This brings that newsletter creating and publishing experience right into WordPress. And then sending to, they have the sending service. So if you have, you know, if you have a 50,000 email newsletter list, you can't really just let your WordPress site send those. You need a proper email sender. They're that too and can do that. Now, Automattic buys them. Guess what? Now it's fully integrated with WooCommerce. So logical extension there. You have like a paid newsletter product that you can just make by clicking some buttons. You know, you set up a subscription in WooCommerce, people buy the subscription, and then in MailPoet, you say, I'm going to send to a segment of users that are users that have this subscription. Boom, now you got full control. You have your own paid newsletter product right on your website that you probably need anyway. So pretty darn cool. Thanks for the support, Automattic, and the suite of products, including MailPoet. If you're pro on CodePen, there is quite literally a promise. We're not only going to read your email, but you're very definitely going to get a response. I mean, that goes for free users too, unless it looks like spam or something. But, you know, like, we respond to emails. That's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. So, but if you're pro, we really, really want to hear from you. Like, I will do anything in my power to make that. Even if it's a feature request, we don't do like email-driven feature development, really. But as we've said on the podcast before, we do log all those requests and make product decisions based on them in aggregate. So that's a thing. Like, it's like your thing doesn't mean we're going to just build it overnight, but it is a vote for said thing, you know?
Yeah. And we log them all.
Yeah. So that's a way that we can help you, but there's gotta be things that we're not thinking of. So if it's just like, you're a person out there that's like, I would like help with something, especially I'd say if it's kind of like above and beyond kind of support, like what is any idea you have of something where we could like just help you, you know? And that's probably the line is drawn at where some of the places we've already drawn it, like, I can't teach you React. I can't edit your WordPress website. But, you know, maybe some better general advice on where to go or whatever, you know, like, you tell us what above and beyond support would be like for you. And especially at the pro level, like, I don't think we make any particular pro promises for support, but we could, you know?
Yeah. You know, that's something that we've talked about. The hesitation there is that we're not 24/7. Like, you know, if we had a 24/7 support team and a big support team, we could definitely make more.
We can't say you'll get a response in an hour like some companies can't, because we just don't have the stuff.
Yeah. Right. Like, during our business days, during our business week, you do. You know, but we're
going to
close the desk on.
In fact, we know we're going to beat that.
Well, yeah, we saw less numbers. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, we are closed on the US holidays. We're closed at the U.S. nighttime. So it's not 24/7. So yeah, it's like we're not at the point where we can make those types of declarations about what you get as a pro. But, you know, we can say if you write us during our business week, during our business hours, you'll hear from us right away.
Mm-hmm. We also know that there's these different levels. So we've talked about you can write in. That's a pretty like extreme level of help. We'll do that. We don't offer anything like phone and stuff. And there's no real push for that here. Like nobody wants to be on the phone all the time. I mean, if you're super enterprise, I'm going to go ahead and okay that. I'll give you my personal cell. If you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But for average users, even a premium pro thing, like being on the phone, it's just hard to sustain at what we charge for CodePen, you know, mm-hmm. It's just not a tenable kind of thing. But okay, so that's the extreme side. But then there's like docs, which is a notch down from that. Of course we have docs. Docs are vital to a product like ours that explain what to do. So part of making support better and you getting good support is us having good docs. Just somewhat recently, this is new for us. We probably should have done this about 100 years ago, but there's a thing at the bottom of all docs. It just says, was this page helpful to you? Yes or no. You click it and now all of a sudden we've got aggregates on whether a particular page was helpful or not and can identify ones in which there's a higher volume of not helpful, which just allows us to just boom, zero in on that doc, attempt to figure out why and improve it. Because any reason why you would say no needs to be improved. You know, like maybe you're landing there for the wrong reason. Well, fine. Then let's hone in on that and get you to the right page instead. You know, like whatever the reason is, there's something to be fixed if there's a lot of no answers on helpfulness, you know?
Right. Yeah. And right now we only have yes, no. It would be super cool if we could get a little bit more feedback.
Tell us
on
why.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a fun little WordPress journey where I, you know, this occurred to me and then I started Googling around for it because you've been around the web long enough. You just know what solve problems are going to be. This, a WordPress plugin for helpfulness of docs is just one of those things where you can just bet your bottom dollar is going to exist. And I found at least two, you know, I can't remember the exact research, but the first one I tried was what Marie is describing. It was a kind of thumbs up.